People, people, people. Following the discussion that we had last week about public display of affection, you know, we had to bring in a little bit of reinforcement. And today it is my pleasure to introduce our special guest, Mr. Michael Anthony Cuff, veteran broadcaster, host of the program Life and Relationships on Mellow FM. And today we're going to talk about this thing called love and other matters of the heart. So, Mr. Cuff, on behalf of all of us, welcome.
Well, you know, Steph, thank you very much for inviting me. I consider it an honor to be here and to actually, you know, join in expressing something I believe in, which is truth, you know what I mean? And in particular, men's truth, because, you know, oftentimes... folks wonder, men, do they really have any truth? Or are they just, conveniently say what is appropriate given where they are? But no, men, yeah, we do have our truths. And, we're people too.
You're absolutely right. We are people too. And to help us discuss the truth about love, as usual, we have with us Mr. Michael Natu, the poet, the journalist. So you look like we have two Michaels in the house this evening.
Yeah. listen. Technically, I came with reinforcement tonight in the form of Mr. Cuff. So room there and I'm carrying. Be careful.
And Mr. Karim Rimzi Ellis, financial and sales coach. How you doing, my brother?
I'm good. Ready to get this thing on the road, you know?
Yep. So I want to kick it off by asking, you know, there's a saying that, you know, men don't love easy, but they love just as hard. Why is there this reluctance among men to say or express that they love?
You know, okay, so the key word in that statement is love. So, because I believe that words do have meaning. And to the extent that we understand the meaning of it, then we're better able to speak to it or, you know, to express it, right? Now, for me, when I use the word love, the context I put it in is the will to extend myself for the purpose of nurturing my own and or another's emotional, psychological, physical, and spiritual development. So notice I said there the will, and will is used specifically because will implies work. For me, love is work. Love is doing. And so therefore, unless you can say I love you 1,000 times, but until you demonstrate that, then you're not loving.
And action.
Yeah. It's essentially a verb for me. Human beings are by nature, they're given to action. And so therefore saying I love you and expressing I love you are two different things. Okay. Mm. So when I say the will to extend myself, so it means I'm going to have to now work on myself, and the work of love, it starts there. And so therefore the purpose is nurturing, okay? Mm-hmm. One needs to start with themselves because you can't give what you don't have. And so therefore you have to start with you. You have to be willing to do the work on you. And then you will now be able to do that on someone else. Because if you are not prepared to do work on yourself and you're asking someone to to do that work for you, you know, it implies a couple of things. One, that, you know, you're not prepared to do the work. So it means essentially that you're looking for someone else to do the work for you. Mm-hmm. So essentially, the work has to start with you. You start with yourself. And then when you're nurturing your own emotional, psychological, physical, spiritual development, then you're now able to do that for someone else. Yes, and the other person has to also have a similar will to do the same thing for you, because love is it's give and take. Mm. It's not just my doing for you; you need to do for me as well. So it's reciprocal.
You know, I want to stop you right there and just ask a question, because it's interesting you mentioned, you know, the reciprocal nature of love. But I'm also aware that there's some perception out there that loving someone, it can unlock that love in them as well for you. Do you believe that, you know, it's sort of like igniting a fire then? Do you feel that you can love someone and awaken a love for you within them? Or do you think that it has to be, it's out of our control and perhaps takes on a more spiritual or even fatalistic meaning?
For example?
So I've been in situations where, so when, you know, when I was young and naive, I don't want to ruin the reputation of the Michaels.
Right.
But you know, when I was young, I remember being in a situation where this young lady, I didn't get an inkling of you know, attraction from her for me, but I knew I was attracted to her. And I remember telling myself that I'm going to get the opportunity to love this person. And because of how I love this person, that person may come to love me, you know? And I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I was successful, but I knew that something was reciprocated, but I also knew that it wasn't as intense, you know, as I was giving it. So, but the person did say that, yo, she loved me, like she grew to love me. And I'm wondering if that's something that's possible. Can you awaken loving someone that's not necessarily there initially? Mm. And can you develop that love as well?
You see, okay, so we're back to the definition. Because of the, I have a definition. It's like, it's what guides me. It's like my lighthouse. Okay. So what I look for is that person that I'm interested in, you know, after I extend myself, is she willing to contribute, emotionally, nurturing me emotionally? Nurturing me physically, which means in terms of, you know, when I say physically, I mean, you know, she wants to know that I exercise, the importance of exercise, because, you know, good health is important. You know, my spiritual development, you know, whatever my beliefs are, is she of that persuasion? Is she willing to, you know, have discussions around my spirituality? Is she willing to help me to nurture my own spirituality, you know, in terms of psychological growth and development? I mean, it's, you know, my knowledge base, you know, is she willing to contribute to that? And in terms of, and of course, I mean, the sexual component is something else, right? But I want to make a distinction, guys, in the sense that love and sex to me are two different things. Ideally, what you want to do is, you know, have a great sexual experience with someone you love, but you don't have to love someone in order to have sex with them or even have a great sexual experience. Now, when I was saying, everything that I'm thinking about love and to do with love and sex, it ties right back to my definition. Because in terms of the physical aspect of love, remember I said now it's to nurture my own and another's emotional, psychological, physical, spiritual development. Okay, so within that physical aspect, you could put sex under there as well, because sex is an activity shared by you know, twosomes, threesomes, or moresomes, whatever that is. Right? But for purposes of this discussion, I'm thinking about an other, just, you know, one other. And I'm saying that because, you know, sex is a physical activity. And so therefore what it means is that, you know, the more we understand what what gives each other pleasure. The more we understand, we're willing to be open and honest. The more we understand that, you know, we're going to work towards making a good thing even better in the bedroom, then to that extent, if all of these things are happening, then I know I'm being loved.
So why is that an easier sell? Because it's like sex is easier to be sold to men than love. Why is that so?
I think it has to do with conditioning, Steph. You know, I think also that one of the things we need to understand is that sex is a very powerful force. Okay? And it's something that we would do well to acknowledge and understand that, because it's there, it's a force, it's an imperative. It's a biological imperative. Okay? And so therefore we have to manage that. So we can't allow it to cloud our judgment in terms of the other aspects of love. But it's very powerful. And I think not a lot of individuals understand it. And so therefore it comes out to sex. So we misinterpret sex with love, and we don't understand the distinction.
You know, we have been conditioned to think of love as, you know, once you establish that with someone, it's like an ever running current between the two of you. But you said just now that, you know, we should learn, you know, the distinction, you know, learn when to apply love and learn, you know, how to differentiate love from sex. Do you feel like because there is such almost like we've fused the two, do you feel like that's why men can't readily appreciate love as willingly as women are perceived to be?
Here's how I would answer that. When it comes to our outlook on life, it's largely colored by our socialization, and unfortunately, there are many people they refuse to think through things for themselves and ask themselves, you know, whose idea is this that I'm applying to this thing called love or this thing called sex? You know, what is this? What are these two things? What is love? What is sex? And what are they? The role? What role do they play in my life? You know, am I living out my parents' definition of love and sex? You know, because the truth is that our parents are not perfect, and so one of the most difficult things for a child to admit is that, look, A, they're not perfect, and they messed up with a lot of things, okay? And so, therefore, if we're going to be honest with ourselves, we have to be prepared to make that admission. So we say, okay, fine, these are not bad people. They were just doing the best with what they know how. And so I now, as an adult, need to sit down and decide for myself, what exactly do I want to do with my life? Because if your actions are not really driven by your own, you didn't come to them through your own thinking, then the question now becomes, whose life are you living? Who's the salesman or the saleswoman? You know, I'm very weary when I hear, you know, people say, society says, you know, no, people is an amorphous mass, you know, it's just a mass of people, right? Who in the society is saying that? You know what I mean? Right. And where do they get that from? Right? If for example, the statement you just made, who can you point to and say, well, then yeah, this person said this, and here are the reasons why they said it, and it works because, right?
Yeah. Battery sold separately.
Yeah. Because people is a plurality, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Just like society is a plurality, you know what I mean? There's somebody says, oh boy, you know, people say, you know, this say, that say. Yeah, but okay, people, you know, as a broadcaster, one of the things I've learned is that if you stick a microphone or a camera in front of anybody, you are going to get feedback. Okay? The question is the feedback you're getting, is it informed? And what is it informed by?
Right.
You get it? So I challenge, what I do is I challenge myself and I challenge others to say, look, this definition of love that you have, where did it come from? You know, whose idea of love are you living? And usually these definitions, they come out of our family of origin, all right? Mm-hmm. They don't have a definition of their own. In counseling, for example, as a counselor, one of the things that I've come to realize is that a couple will come in and tell us that this is not working and he doesn't love me and, you know, it's not working and, you know, I'm frustrated and you fix him. And I'm saying to myself, okay, so what is it you want? Well, I want him to love me. And I'm saying, okay, well, what is it? What's your definition of love? And they stop. That's when the conversation stops. And I say, well, what do you mean? I say, yeah, well, this thing that you're saying you're looking for love, what does it look like? You know? Oh. And they go blank oftentimes because it suddenly occurred to them that they're looking for something they don't have a sense of what this animal looks like. Okay? Mm-hmm. So I'm saying if you don't have a definition, okay, and you're asking someone to love you, how do you know what he's doing to you is not love? If you don't have anything to, you know what I mean? If you don't have a reference point, if you don't have a standard, how do you know you're not being loved?
That's their basis of love. Or you know that I'm not giving you my full capacity of what I can give you based off my understanding.
Right. Exactly.
Right, okay. Right.
And you see it
based off what I.
You see it all the time within physical abuse. Okay. You know, somebody just beat up on a woman, and the next minute they say, "Oh, baby, I love you," kind of thing. You know what I mean? Baby, I love you. I just hit you. I just beat you up. And I'm saying, if in that definition of love, okay, which possibly came out of their family of origin. Okay, so they look for someone to replicate what they think is love. When it's not working, you know, it's a different thing when your father's doing it to your mother as opposed to when you now start to get the blows yourself.
Right. And to me, that's what's important. Like something I've always, you know, held as a guiding light for me is because I understand that, you know, people love differently. And so, it's rarely ever objective. You know, love is such a subjective experience for a lot of people. So I feel like it's important then for you to find someone whose idea of love is sort of compatible with yours, you know? And that's if you have a definition of it.
Precisely.
I feel like that's an important
precisely,
thing. You know?
Precisely. And this is why I have started with a definition. If when I look at my definition, right? I don't know and wonder if the person that I am with is loving me or not. Okay? Because I look at the different aspects. You know, is this person contributing and nurturing my own emotional development? Okay? I mean, can I trust this person? You know, are they emotionally reliable? All right? Are they there in the moments when I need them? You know, do they disappear in those moments when I need them? Or are they there? Do they have my back? You understand? Will they tell me the truth regardless of how they think I might feel? Because this is someone that I would have to trust enough to know that they know me and understand me well enough so that whatever it is they say to me, I will trust them to say, you know something, whether I think I agree or not initially, there's something here I need to think about. Because people are your best mirrors, okay? A mirror, in essence, it gives you a reflection, okay? The mirror can't talk, okay? And what you're seeing in that mirror is what you project in that image. But on the other hand, a human being, if they have the capacity to know you well enough that they're not afraid to tell you what you need to hear and not what you want to hear. Okay, and if you trust that person, okay, if you trust that person and that person can reflect you accurately back to yourself, then it's important because you need someone like that, all right? The person is not there to tell you necessarily what you want to hear. They're there to tell you what you need to hear.
what I'm taking from you also is that, you know, people should have a firm definition of their interpretation of what is love before they go out there searching for this love.
What? Look, man. Look, that's exactly what I'm saying. If you don't know what you're looking for, okay.
You don't know. Right. And I guess that for me personally, in my personal or love life, I never thought about it that way. But when you broke it down, I mean, just thinking of examples with me, I mean, I love differently. So when I calculate it in my head, and I'm like, all right, these are the things. I'm a service kind of person. I'm a doer. I'm not really into the yeah, so I'm not into the bag of talking or whatever, but I'll make sacrifices for you, and you'll see that I care based on the level of sacrifice and how far I'm willing to go for you. I'm not the most romantic person. You understand?
Who told you that?
Well, that is true.
Where did you get that from?
Well, you know. Based on this conversation, again, it's even opening my mind.
That's what I was going to ask.
You know.
Not two. Two.
Which nice guy in society?
Yeah. You're right, man. You're right.
Take charge of your life and question these things. You know what I mean? Ask yourself these questions, right? Because a problem I find for many is that if you can't answer these questions, then whose life are you living?
It's exactly. Funny because we could do a parallel with this and run it to religion and other topics. It's so interesting.
Exactly.
Right. But you know, there's something I want to pick up. It's sort of related. You know, knowing that we each have our unique way of loving, where is the perception coming from that loving somebody is a sign of weakness? Because I've seen in relationships, I've observed where, you know, people play a kind of wait and see game. So it's kind of like I'm capable of communicating how I feel. I'm capable of expressing, you know, through action, through words, and everything else, you know, what I understand love to be. But I'm not going to show that to you because I need to see you do that first. And I'm thinking like, yo, somebody has to take the first step. You know, I feel like everybody in a general sense. And it reminds me of kind of like online dating in a way where people are just sitting and waiting to be impressed before they start to take that leap. So for one, you know, when you do express how you feel, it sort of accomplishes the opposite of what you want. Because then you know, the power dynamic come into play and somebody...
You said I love you first.
Right. You said I love you first, so you lose.
No, you see, but there's a difference. You so see, what you're describing, you're describing a game. Look, if the person is not interested in me in the same way I'm interested in them, then that's okay. You know what I mean? That's okay. Because the point is, this, you know, there's a song with a title called I'm Gonna Make You Love Me. I'm gonna make you love me. Yes, I am. Yes,
Robbie. Young Natu.
Look, if you initially understand, okay, because again, in my definition of self-esteem, okay, this is where it comes in. If you understand fundamentally that you are lovable, okay, then you don't have to go out there to ask somebody, well, I mean, what do you think? I mean, am I lovable? No, you may not love me, but it doesn't mean that I am not worthy of love.
You know, you mentioned, you know, where we get the messages from, and you know, I remember as a younger boy, you know, if we even mentioned that we were in love, you know, we'd be teased by the older boys and that kind of thing. But it took me a while to get to the point where me expressing love was just as important as me receiving love. because it did something for me. It was edifying to me and not necessarily just about getting it from somebody. So it was no longer about avoidance. And even, I mean, and when you started talking about lover's work, I was like, nah, I don't agree with it. But then when you said, you know, when you love yourself, you work on yourself, so it should be the same amount of work loving somebody else. And I was like, oh yeah, I get it. So you kind of step on my toe there, but yeah.
But you know, what does that work look like though? I'm curious. In some specific, you know, when you say, you know, love, you know, is working on yourself. What does that look like in some specific ways?
You know, that's a great question. One of the things that I know for sure is that I had to, there were, the family context that I was raised in, I used to get some serious, you know, smack upside my head, say, be loving, right? You're not being loving, you must be loving, bow! I'm saying shit. But, and I was always told to be loving. Now, the thing is, nobody taught me to love or what it looked like or what I should be doing to be loving it. Okay? And the blows upside my head didn't help. Right? You know, when you say be loving, what does that mean? I came to where I am now to a lot of hard work of working in myself to work on some of the those ideas that were undermining my mental growth and development. Okay? Because fortunately for me, I was able to, through a lot of work, thinking through these things, what does it mean? You know, he said, be loving. You know, how, you know, what is that? You know? And before I say be loving, I say, well, then, okay, the first thing is, why be loving? You get to a place where you start to ask yourself some fundamental question. Why is it necessary? Why is it important to be loving? Yeah. People say, yeah, love, you must love. But, okay, so what is this thing? When you say love, because what I've found is that you ask a number of different persons about this definition of love. And if they don't, usually they don't have one. Or one they can articulate. And two, if they have it, you realize that it's going to entail some things here that maybe it won't be good for you. So it's not just a question of, you know, love. You know, why is love important? Why not just go through and hate everybody? You know?
Quite tempting, right? But yeah,
you see, but that's the thing, you know? And so if you're asking me what it is, love for me, there is no physical pain. So I won't be beating up on anybody, and I don't expect anybody to be beating up on me. Mm. Okay? Because there's a word for that. If I beat up on you or anybody else for that matter, they go to a police station. You know, there's a charge for that. So I need to be very clear in my head. Okay, how can I be beating up somebody else? You know, why when you do it to your partner? Okay, it's physical, and there's also emotional abuse. When you do it to your partner, okay, or do it to somebody else, it's physical abuse. So you can go to jail for it. You can, you know, and yet you think it's okay to do it to somebody you say you love.
But isn't that where things like, you know, the concept of unconditional love comes from? You know, in the wedding vows, for richer, for poor, sickness and in health, till death do us part, that sort of thing. And so because there's also the concept that, you know, if love doesn't last, that means it wasn't real love. So isn't it a little bit more nuanced than that?
I am not going to love anyone unconditional. Okay? Now, I do understand that I'm quite clear that there is this definition that no matter what happens, and love is long-suffering, and love is abjured. No. My definition don't have any of that in there. Okay?
Mine either.
Right? I think life has a lot of pain waiting for you, naturally. You're going to lose loved ones, and, you know, you might have you might come down with some kind of a terminal illness or disease, and all of these things waiting for you to inflict natural pain on you and suffering. Mm. So I don't need to create any of that. So I quite understand that the church and all these institutions and individuals and groups of people have their definition, but I don't need a group of people to make to think for me. I'm quite capable of doing that for myself.
Right. So that whole thing, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor.
You know all of them, man.
It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no
record. You know all of them.
I think that's not a bad guide, is it?
Okay, so look, if when you, it's like, let's look at the line that says, "Love does not boast." Okay. I don't know why I have to be boasting about loving somebody. You understand? I mean, when you say love does not boast, meaning what? What does that mean? Love does not keep a record. Now, look, if I do something for somebody, I do it out of the goodness of me. I don't necessarily expect anything in return because I'm doing something. But if I'm doing something with somebody I love and somebody I live with and somebody I care about, okay, is there a difference between charity and love? Okay, if we're talking about love between a man and a woman in that sense. Then, when I give money to charity, I don't keep a record of it. I don't really, if I give somebody, I help somebody with some money on the street or something like that because I feel like doing it, then I don't keep a record of that. You understand? Mm-hmm. But if, for example, in my personal relationship, I'm the one that's always giving, and nothing is coming back to me, then I need to mentally record that.
Yep. I feel you.
For your
100%.
For your own mental health.
And that's how you know when the tables are unbalanced.
Exactly.
And this don't make no sense. I can't be giving you 100 and may I get
30. Yeah. How does that make sense? How does that make sense?
Yeah.
You understand?
No, it makes sense in the hopeless romantic dictionary and meaning for it. Like not.
Well, the operative word there is hopeless.
That's the other Michael on the line. That's the other Michael on the line.
Listen.
Yeah, man, that's Michael's dad.
Listen, allow me.
Yeah, come in here, Michael.
Allow me to clear my name.
Pause for a clear. Come.
I get it, and I understand. I don't think love is this finite resource. No, I understand that people can get, exhausted. And to make my point, just to complete the rest of that. So it says, it always protects, it always trusts, it always hopes, it always perseveres, and love never fails. And a lot of people take that to mean, referring to Steph's earlier point about, if it fails, then it wasn't love. But it didn't say love never ends, just love never
fails. What's the difference?
So I interpret that to mean then, a relationship can end and you can still bear no ill will toward that person. You can still want the best for that person. And I feel like that it's not necessarily love in the context of a relationship, but it's love in a continuous form, just without that commitment that was initially there. So I don't necessarily feel like, they are one and the same. Like I feel like, a relationship can end, but you can still love the person. Because typically that happens, sometimes a relationship ends and one person is left, holding the shitty end of the stick. They are still very much in love, but the other person is not. And so I think about it from that perspective, but I also feel like, if I love you, I love you. And, if you don't love me, that's fine. And I'll be okay. But my loving you is not contingent upon, if I grow to love you, like it's not contingent upon you. It's absolutely nice to have it reciprocated. That's the ideal thing. That's what you're looking for. And I feel like, somebody has to like you have to, it's kind of like this weird game of poker where you have to show your hands in order to get a chance of winning. But you know that goes against every rule in the game of poker. You're not supposed to show your hand. But in this game, it's almost like you have to defy the rules and you have to do this almost craziest thing to get a chance at winning. So you show your hand and then you have to be willing to bear the consequences of that. You have to be willing to accept that, yo, you loving somebody, there's a chance that they might not be
ready. You know what I find interesting?
But
you know what I find interesting as I'm listening to you?
Yeah.
Look, if you loving somebody, okay? The person you ever lost it? You ever loved somebody and the person didn't love you back?
Yeah, possibly.
Look, man, this is men's shooting, right? if we're gonna live the title, we have to be honest with ourselves, right?
No, man, obviously, man, I'm scanning my experiences. I think it has to be somewhere.
When I was somewhere back in my 20s, right, there was the first young woman I ever loved. It started all right because it was a mutual thing. It was great. And after a while, something started to change. And, you know, I found out that there was another man in the picture. Okay, another young man in the picture. She was now interested in more than she was interested in me. Now, I was, you know, like Michael was saying, I had this feeling that, well, she had a new love interest. And here was I, on my own kind of thing, and I was feeling this, you know, very uncomfortable emotion, this pain of love and everything else, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm saying to myself, I didn't start to do any serious analysis yet. I was really down, feeling sorry for myself. And, you know, boy, and love stinks, and there's this, and what it is, and calling our names and all kind of things, right? Here's the thing. You can't really love, for me, I don't know how you're going to love. If you're accepting that love is action and reciprocal action, you can't, how do I love somebody who is not around because she has said, look, I mean, my feelings have changed and I'm more interested in this person, right? What I came to realize that I felt it was my ego that was crushed. Okay? Because it's not that she has taken away something physical from me. Okay? What you're dealing with is a feeling that you want this person in your life. And you're willing to go out of your way. You're willing to make a fool of yourself. You're willing to do whatever it is to get this person back in your life. But the point is, the person is showing you that, look, I'm really not interested in you anymore, as in my case. I'm now interested in somebody else. And that's okay. Yeah. Because I thanked her now. I can look in retrospect. I can thank her now for saying, look, you know, why do I want to be with someone was clearly demonstrated that they don't want to be with me anymore. What is that saying about me? Yeah. And my love for myself. Why do I want someone or anything, period, that is not good for me or that they don't want me in the same way that I want them?
Do you believe in love at first sight?
No. No. I told a guy, well, I believe in love at first sight, but I also believe in taking a second look. You see, again, you know, that the whole idea is you have to understand the difference between, you know, an emotion, right? Mm. An emotion is always a signal for me to start thinking. Whether it's a good emotion or a bad emotion, okay, what it says to me is that here's something happening here inside of you. You need to think about it. If I even go back to this girl I was telling you about, I had no definition of love. I just felt really good when I was around her, and you know, and the sex was good and everything else. But in retrospect, after she left, you know, after she took off with this other brother, it occurred to me that, well, no, it didn't occur to me then because I had no definition. I was just feeling sorry for myself and pining, you know, and then thinking that, boy, what is this guy got that I ain't got? Mm-hmm. But if I had a definition, like I said, in retrospect, she wasn't doing this with me. I was the one doing all these things, right? And she was just reaping all the benefits and not giving me back anything. Now, I never really sort of, had any definition to interrogate her and ask her questions that would kind of, so she can really tell me how she felt. Right? All I can say was the sex was great. you know what I'm saying? Right?
That's love for me.
But that was sex. I mean, sex, look, man, I don't know. I don't know. I can't really, unless you contract an STI, you know, sex is always good.
Yeah, listen, hey.
Some might tell you it's good enough to contract, what?
No, well, you see, no. You see,
not for me.
Because here what happens. I don't think from 0 to 7 or 15 minutes is worth it. If I'm genuinely loving myself in my definition of love, I am not going to do anything that's going to jeopardize my health, okay, or my life.
Yeah, yeah.
All right? For me, there is nothing that's worth that. I mean, look, yeah. I mean, I'm talking in terms of the sexual romantic thing, right? I'm not saying that if, you know, I wouldn't, in altruism or something like that, so I wouldn't like, you know, somebody I really admired and whatever it is, you know, I wouldn't do something that could really call into question my life kind of thing. But, you know, odds are still I might like to come out. You know what I mean? Like my children, for example. I mean, there's no 2 years about that. I mean, if I had to give away an organ or if I had to risk my life, I'd do that. Okay? So I'm not saying, no. The person I'm with, it would have to be something that is thought through kind of thing. But to say, would I risk contracting an STI or no, for 0 to,
no.
Look, at the longest sex pretty much go like 15 minutes. So between the 0 and the 15 minutes or the 0 and the 7 minutes.
Maybe we need to have
for me, that's not working, right? Because the truth is, that same sensation, I can get it elsewhere.
That 15 minutes can feel like an hour. You know what I mean? You know, you have to add a couple more minutes.
You see that thing called sex? It puts you have a break with reality, right? So that's why 15 minutes will feel like an hour. You know,
and the time you take to wait on the test will feel like a lifetime.
Exactly. You know, so when I get these very overwhelming urges, I need to start thinking after the 15 minutes or the hour, as the case may be. Michael, what's your definition?
Yeah. So I believe love is it's pretty similar to yours, except that I kind of have a kind of overwhelming aspect to it in the sense that I feel like, you know, when I care about someone, when I care about them completely, you know, I want to see you. I want, first and foremost, like, for me, it's about ensuring that the person and myself, you know, we have peace of mind. And that's very important to me. Emotional safety, providing that and receiving that. And just a safe space in general where you can feel okay to be, you know, the weirdest version of yourself and not feel judged by it. So pretty much like a judgment-free kind of thing. And I remember, you know, my first encounter with love or with what I defined as love, you know, in retrospect. And I remember, when I think about that time, I remember that the feeling I get is an overwhelming feeling of safety. And it's not like the person could have protected me in any situation. Not that I would have wanted that person's protection, but I felt incredibly safe to just, you know, voice some thoughts that might, you know, other people might consider to be crazy. You know, I felt like I could have been completely vulnerable, and I extended that to them as well, without fear that, you know, that vulnerability will be exploited, you know, and leave me, you know, hurting. And so that has become like a big part of how I've come to define love. When I feel safe, and when I can extend that safety, and when I can create that zone where somebody can just come in and be themselves, and to just not feel like I'm an extension of what's burdening them, then that's it for me.
For me, I think love is a decision to give, and it's also the openness to receive, you know, those things that you give. You know, the Bible said, for God so loved that he gave. So I think it's a reflection of that. It's a decision that comes with certain emotions. It comes with the willingness to be able to build the person as much as you want to see yourself be built, you know. But the more I love is the more I grow in love, and it's the more I redefine it. But it's about, but I really think it's and every day I think you have to make that decision, remind yourself that this is what love is to you, and continue to work to build that. So I don't know what you think about that, you know. But it's also about, you know, not to mention the safe space. It's also about building that safe space. It's not just about giving and receiving material things, but it's about creating that safe space. Because, you know, part of it for me, part of what I define love as is peace, not silence, but peace, feeling at peace, knowing that this person means the best for you, that this person isn't trying to harm you in any way. So, you know, I think so. It's the decision, it's the safety, and it's also the peace.
Well, I think it has, it's a, look, for us to do anything as rational beings, there is a reason that we're doing it. Mm-hmm. For example, when I say the will is, it implies work. Okay. Now I have to decide that I want to make this investment, not only in myself for my own growth and development in all those areas I mentioned, but if I'm going to be in love with someone else, I have to make a decision that I'm going to do these things. So, you know, the decision to, you can take out will there for a moment, but it's the decision to extend yourself for the purpose of nurturing your own and the other's emotional, psychological, spiritual development. You understand? Okay. So it's something I decide to do, just like you can decide not to do.
Yeah.
Right. So I agree with you that, the word decision is definitely in there. Something I have decided that I want to do. You know, I've decided that I want to, improve my education. I want a bachelor's, I want a master's, I want a doctor. You understand?
Love yourself enough to want to improve yourself.
Right. And so therefore, the will, because you've made that decision, then the will to do it, the will implies the work. You know, the study is this, the that, the whatever it is, until you acquire the goal of doing it, right? Mm-hmm. Now, in terms of a sexual, a love relationship, it's ongoing all the time, because there's always there's always room for growth in all the areas I mentioned. And what you want is somebody who is willing to invest in your growth and development in all those areas as much as you're willing to do that for them, right? And it's when you can see the improvement that this person has made in investment in the psychological, physical, spiritual, sexual development, you become a better person for it.
I'll ditto everything that Steph says, or most of the stuff that Steph said, but I want to add that for me, I also want a partner, not a competitor. I want a partner, not a competitor. And in addition to what Steph said, you know, for me, peace of mind is something that is very, very, very important. As I said, I'm somebody that expresses my love through, as you call it, acts of service. I guess that's a love language or all of that. I also take that as well.
Well, Mr. Koff, I definitely want to thank you for the discussion today. I think we all learned a few things. One being, you know, we need to define it before we even demand it from anybody else. We need to define it even before we start looking for it. There's a need for personal agency as well, working and developing yourself. So thank you so very much, Mr. Koff. And we definitely want to bring you back. But could you just remind me when the date and time of your program?
Oh, it's between 8 and 10, 8 and 10 p.m., Monday to Thursday, and it's on Mellow FM. It's called Life and Relationships. Well, guys, I mean, this was fun. Thank you for the opportunity to speak my truth.
Thank you. Hey.
Legendary.